I managed to get a roofer to look at it yesterday afternoon with me with a drone, and we managed to find that there was quite a large area right at the top of the roof on that side that had come loose, and there is still some more that will probably fall down during the next week or so. What we're doing is we're getting an estimate for scaffolding on tomorrow, and also there's about 20 roof tiles that and ridge tiles that need to be replaced along the roof, so that work will be done at the same time. So for the time being, I've put barricades round the back door because that's the area where the path is that is vulnerable. So please avoid walking around the back of the church because it's not safe at the moment. Okay?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, David. That's really helpful to hear and for us to all be aware of. So please do come in through the front door, which, as far as we're aware, is totally safe. Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you on a slightly grey morning. We do have one or two other notices just to fill in. The first of which is those wonderful people who helped deliver the parish magazine should know that it is now available to be collected from the sanctuary to deliver. We are very grateful to everyone who does take some of these. I know that some people might think, oh, you only take 30 or 40 each, but a couple of people are taking more than 200 copies around. And it's something that we're hoping to take a look at in the near future to see if we can rebalance and make it fairer. But for each of you who acts as a postman for this, please know we really appreciate what you're doing, and we're not taking it for granted, and we will see if we can improve how we can distribute this around. Because at the end of the day, if too few people are carrying too many, we need to have a serious think about how we make it work. However, in here we do have a full list of all the different things that are going on throughout Lent, with a good full-page spread and a brief description of all the different things that are happening, particularly during Holy Week. I would like to really encourage you. I know that Holy Week and Easter is a little way off yet. We're on the third Sunday before Lent. But have a think about what you might like to come along to. Last year, I was really pleased that we had a reasonable number of people that came each day, but it was nearly always the same 90% each day. I'm not worried about numbers being higher, but I would love to have that same number of people each day, but for all of the people to be different each time. Does that make sense? So I'm not asking you, come along to everything, though please do, but come along to something, because it's a time of year to reflect in a slightly different way, and we have different kinds of things going on, and hopefully one of those things will be of interest to you and might actually be exactly what you need. In terms of other notices, I had something in my head. Yes, next week we have the Village Expo on the Saturday afternoon. Please do come along and see what's going on in the village, and if possible, say a nice word or two about the church while you're at it. But if you're involved in different areas of church life and you've got pictures or something you'd like to share, we're putting together a slideshow to go on a monitor on our table to represent what we do as a church and who we are as a church, to try and encourage people who perhaps wouldn't normally come to church to think, well, actually, this looks like a nice, friendly place to come. I have to say that this church here is one of the friendliest churches I've ever been to. As soon as someone comes in here, they're swept up in a welcoming embrace, they're invited over to tea and coffee, and they have a good time. Problem is that people need to know that that's what they're going to experience when they come here. So if you could please help us with our invitation at the Village Expo to the people of the village to come along, that would be fantastic. And lastly, on a slightly indulgent note, thank you to all of you who have emailed me or even have emailed my dad to say congratulations on his being made a canon of Norwich Cathedral last week. It was a lovely service, though I have to say that Alfred did steal the show slightly. He didn't disrupt the service, but when they were doing their oaths and the things they had to do, he was murmuring along. So I told the Bishop of Norwich afterwards, I think you've accidentally got the youngest honorary canon in perhaps the entire country. He did find, though, during the sermon, which was quite good, he would much rather crawl around and have a good old explore of the cathedral. So just as you've seen him coming up and down the aisle here, he was doing exactly the same in the middle of Norwich Cathedral. So I think that means we must be on par with such a wonderful and historic place. With all that said, let us remember that we are indeed here in the presence of God, to pray, to worship, and to ask him to be with us in all of life's struggles. And so we're going to stand and sing our first hymn, Blessed Assurance. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated? Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our collect prayer for this, the third Sunday before Lent. Almighty God, who alone can bring order to the unruly wills and passions of sinful humanity, give your people grace so to see what you command and to desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world our hearts may surely there be fixed, where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Remain seated for our readings.
The Old Testament reading this morning is taken from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 17, beginning to read at verse 5. This is what the Lord says: cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind, to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 15, beginning to read at verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us stand and sing our next song, number 1547. Jesus Christ, according to Luke. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? We have now come to the sermon, which I'm sure means we have come to an invitation for someone to crawl up and down the aisle. Our readings are fantastic readings, but they are not easy readings. We are uninclined to enjoy it when we hear Jesus say, "Woe to you if you are rich." That's a difficult one for us to listen to, especially when we start looking at our context, not just in the sense of our own lives, but in that of the world. I don't know about you, but the cost of living crisis affects everybody. We're all finding that energy bills are going up and that things have been trickier with less left over than perhaps we might ordinarily enjoy. Yet the statistics I don't have to mind immediately, but are if you have a place to sleep, if you have a roof over your head and you have access to clean water, you are in the top 15% of the entire world's population. Which means that when we hear Jesus say, "Woe to you who are rich," as much as we would like to duck out of it and say, "Well, we don't have a mansion and we've not got all the stocks and shares and the return this year is actually not going to be very good," unfortunately, it's aimed directly at people like you and me. And we have two choices. Either we ignore those parts of the Bible and we read just the bits where Jesus says, "Love your neighbor as you love yourself." We listen to 1 John where it says, "God is love," and we feel cozy and reassured. Or we go, "Well, this must be something important." And we come to our Jeremiah reading. Jeremiah presents a vision of two trees. One tree trusts in the things of man and mortals. And he says that this tree seems beautiful, but it withers quickly. As soon as a drought comes, its leaves go and its roots dry up. But the man who believes and puts his trust in the Lord is like a tree that is always green and always bears fruit, drinking deeply of water no matter what difficulties come. And this presents me, personally, this might be an illustration that presents more on me maybe, with a real challenge. Because although I have this lovely Bible that I preach from, and several of you have asked about it before, I preach from different Bibles, but this is my favourite Bible and my main Bible. Because this Bible I bought last year, because I recognised that actually I didn't have my own Bible. I have about 36 Bibles, but none of them were my Bible. They were just Bibles on a shelf that I would pull off and use different translations for different occasions to prepare sermons and do things. One of those Bibles is a very important Bible to me, which was given to me by my grandmother after my grandfather died. And in his Bible, there are annotations and underlinings and comments and things where you can see his faith living within the pages of his Bible. We realized that Alfred was going to grow up and see us and watch us and see how we are and how we live out our faith. And I said to myself, I want a Bible that he will see me reading and see me underlining and engaging with. So I bought this Bible in May of last year. Now, when you're looking at getting a Bible, there's lots of different things to take into consideration, but I actually felt quite challenged because of something else I own and use all the time, and that is my mobile phone. This is a Galaxy S22 Ultra, which I bought the week it came out. Yes, I traded in my old phone for it, and I paid for it over time, but this is more than £1,000. I spend too long looking at this phone every day. I get texts from friends and family. I see emails from each of you. I can follow the news. I can watch YouTube. We can do video calls with Linnea's parents all the way over in Sweden. Sometimes, though, I just play chess. Sometimes I find myself scrolling mindlessly. Some people find that these devices are actually very addictive and take up lots of their time. For some people, this is a gateway into gambling, into pornography, into depression. All sorts of different things that you can use it for. Now, I'm not here to say that mobile phones are bad. It's how you use them. The same with any tool. But how can I stand here with a more than a £1,000 phone that I use to check the BBC and to play chess for longer than I ought to each day, and then buy a Bible for £10? That was the challenge that I felt. And the Bible that I've got is quite an expensive Bible, but I promise you, it's less than a third of the price of my phone. And one of the challenges that I've been trying to engage with this year is reading my Bible more. I was joining with a friend in January where we took a commitment to read the Quran together, because I've never actually read it all the way through, and it seems to be a relevant topic. So that was my New Year's resolution. Now, if I was going to spend 20 minutes every day reading the Quran, I needed to spend at least half an hour reading the Bible each day. And suddenly you start realizing that this picture of two trees in Jeremiah is really important. We might say, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who is a tree that is always green, whose roots go deep. But do we then put our Bible on the side and pick up our phone or turn on the television or look at our tablet or whatever it might be and find ourselves basing our whole opinion and worldview on that instead? I'm not saying that you now all need to go out and buy a really expensive Bible. I'm saying that for me, I needed to make a commitment to God and actually say, this matters to me, and so I'm going to show it matters by getting myself a good Bible and by making time with it. I bought this in May of last year, and I can say that I have read every verse in this Bible. It is possible to read the Bible faster than in a year, but it's not about reading it faster than in a year. It's about reading it so that we can grow and understand in our appreciation of what God has done. And by being immersed in it, we come to this image of Jesus talking about blessings and woes. He says, "Woe to you if you are rich, but blessed are you if you are poor." It says, "Woe to you if you are full, if you are content and satisfied, for you will be hungry. But blessed are you if you hunger." It says, "Blessed are you if you weep and mourn and feel the sting of grief." How can we be blessed in the midst of our grief? And it says, "Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep." Isn't that a depressing dichotomy to live with him? But it's the same balance between finding our source of nourishment and contentment. It's an ancient balance that comes through Jeremiah, but Jeremiah is picking up on a theme even earlier from Deuteronomy chapter 30. From the sermon of Moses. And Moses has outlined for everything all that God has done and a whole load of the commandments of the law. And he comes to this pinnacle of what he's saying. He says, "This commandment that I command you today is not too heavy for you, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who should go over the sea for us and bring it for us so we may hear and do it. But the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. See, I have set before you today life and blessings, death and curses. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, then I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and be blessed. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you will surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over to. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life. Often, people make this mistake, and they say that if you disobey, God will be angry. The wrath of God is not the anger of human beings. The wrath of God is the righteousness of God, allowing the consequences of evil to be the consequences they are. We have a choice as to how we respond. Do we place our trust and our faith in God, or in the things of man and the culture of the world? And the good news is this, that God knows that we are unable to do anything by ourselves because it is difficult for us to emerge ourselves, to extract ourselves from the culture of the world. The same Jesus who says, woe to you who are rich, says it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. He knows the difficulty we have. This in Deuteronomy says, the word of God is not somewhere far away, on the other side of the ocean or up in the heavens, but it is near to you. And it has come near to us in Jesus Christ our Lord, whom we have celebrated at Christmas, born as a child, to grow up and live a human life just as we each live, that we might know the same things that he knows. It says somewhere that Jesus knew what was in their hearts because he has a heart like ours. He was tempted in every way, and yet remained perfect by the grace of God. And so we come to this realization that the word of God has come to us to fulfill the goodness that we cannot by ourselves do, and to make an atonement for the things that we get wrong. Yes, there are consequences and woes and curses for those who are trapped in sin. These are real consequences. But the fulfillment and end of the law is found when those curses and the fullness of death itself are placed upon Jesus through the nails that pierce his hands and hold him to the cross. All of the guilt and hesitation and shame that we feel are truly located in him on that cross. Him dying his death for us means that we will not die the death we should die. When we die, we shall die the same kind of death as him, but be together with him in it. Before we were utterly alone, now we cannot be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus, a love of God which is revealed on the cross. And this is what Paul is speaking about so emphatically in Corinthians. He says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Jesus Christ is not raised. And he goes on and on about this because of arguments that were happening at that day and time, particularly with those that were of the school of the Sadducees, who believed that this life was it. God's blessings were for you now and not later. Eternal life is not going to be physical. Deal with it. And Paul is saying, no. If there is no resurrection at the end of time, if we are not resurrected to live life with God, then Jesus Christ could not have been raised either, could he? He makes our resurrection entirely caught up in the resurrection of Jesus. And he says, if Jesus did not come back to life after dying, our faith is futile. You are still in your sins. If we hope in a Christ that has not risen from the dead, then our hope is useless, and we should be pitied by all the world because we are deluded. But Christ Jesus rose again, putting an end to sin, an end to death, an end to guilt and shame for those of us that will but hold on to the hand of God in friendship. It says that we will be raised from the dead like Christ, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man has come death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, in Christ all will be made alive. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for God has put all things in subjection under his feet. And it is clear that in the resurrection of Christ, we have the hope of eternal life. And so if we wish to be trees whose roots drink deep, we must listen to what Jesus says. When he challenges us, be careful, those of you who are rich, those of you who are full, those of you who are laughing. It's not that he does not want us to be those things, but he wants us to be those things in him and not grounded on the world which shall pass away. One of the things that I have come to a really sincere and deeper appreciation of through my time spent with this Bible is that we all too often moralize the gospel. The gospel makes us nice people. It makes us good people. It gives us hope now, and that is great. But in truth, the gospel is much more basic. The gospel is that God loves us, and he has shown this for us by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Everything else is rich and meaningful and layered on top. But trust me when I say, whatever you have done, whatever stress or anxiety you are holding on to, it has been nailed to the cross with Christ Jesus. And in his resurrection, he says to you, I will do this for you too. Believe in me. Repent of your sins. And live life to the full. To the glory of God our Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, may that be true for each and every one of us. Amen.
Let us pray. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Lord, we praise and thank you for the blessings you bestow on all who reach out to you. Our lives can be troubled and wearisome, and proclaiming ourselves as your followers is full of challenges when we are offered the easier path of worldly comforts. Help us to evaluate the true worth of those things we pursue, and forgive us when we fall short. Keep us in the faith that your resurrection has rescued us to live a life in the light and warmth of your love. Give us the courage and freedom to express our faith to others, that they may also come to know you as their Lord. You hold all of us in your hand, and we pray that acceptance of you as our only true Saviour will spread across all peoples in time, regardless of geographical, cultural, or political divides. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the world we live in today, and we bring before you all who are crushed beneath the weight of conflict or disaster. We pray that peaceful and enduring solutions may be found, and that those in positions of power will exercise compassion and restraint to bring an end to the suffering of so many in their charge. We ask that you bless all who work for peace and unity, and that you will keep safe those who have the courage to stand up for what is good and right. Draw near to all who are fearful for their future, that they may be comforted by you, the Prince of Peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for your church throughout the world, that the fruits of the Spirit may enable all who meet in your name to bring hope to others. We ask that your wise counsel will guide the decisions of the Church of England as it confronts abuses from within and a crisis of confidence in its leadership. We pray for your blessing on the work of those who are called to minister in this benefice and those who serve in any other way. God of mission, send your Holy Spirit to give vision to our planning, wisdom to our actions, and power to our witness. Help this church to grow in spiritual commitment to you and in service to our local community here in Penn and Tyler's Green. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, we ask for your comfort for those in need of help at this time. You understand all our petitions, and we know that you are in the midst of our trials. Be with those who are sad, lonely, in pain, or any other distress for their situation. Help them to sense your presence in times of need, and bless those who seek to bring relief to them. In a moment of silence, we remember before you anyone on our hearts this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are grieving the loss of someone dear. We thank you for their lives among us and ask that you send the comfort of the Holy Spirit as we look together for the coming of your heavenly kingdom when death will be no more. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves, that as we go from this church today to start the week ahead, we may walk more closely with you in all that we do, and with the full confidence that comes with knowing that you are our risen Christ and Saviour. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
As those who place our trust in God, let us stand and confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of what is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father which is in heaven, that he may bless you and prosper you. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us offer one another a sign of Christ's peace. Our next hymn is number 1207, Come See the Lord in His Breathtaking Splendor. Now, I'm not sure that you've sung these words before, you might have done, but hopefully the tune will be familiar to at least some of you, though I'll be honest, it's one I'm uncertain of. So we're going to ask if Deborah could play the tune of the first verse through once, and then we'll give it a go as we prepare ourselves for communion. Service continues on page 5. Would you please be seated? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the goodness of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you that you sustain and nourish us. May these gifts, which we use for Holy Communion, sustain and strengthen us within our hearts, reassuring us of your love and presence with us this day and always. Amen. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It It is indeed right, it is our duty and our joy, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living Word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood. Who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself, made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith with thanksgiving.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. The blood of Christ.
Merciful Father, who gave Jesus Christ to be for us the bread of life, that those who come to him should never hunger, draw us to the Lord in faith and love, that we may eat and drink with him at his table in the kingdom, where he is alive and reigns, now and forever. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise. But when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free. And the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And so we come to discover what it is that our young people have been up to during Tiger Club this morning. So good morning. We have a microphone ready for you. What have we been up to today? It looks like you've been very creative. Does anyone want to...
I don't know. We talked about what brings us happiness. And go on.
And just like a bubble, happiness doesn't last forever because one time it will pop.
But what does Jesus bring us? And Jesus brings us happiness.
So just as bubbles bring us happiness, Jesus brings us a happiness that endures and shall never pop, which I think is a beautiful image. And actually, bubbles have a particular place in my heart. It's an interesting thing that when I was training to be in my curacy, at the end of a baptism, my training incumbent liked to do one of two things if possible. When giving the blessing for everybody, as a sign of that blessing, he would either throw confetti at them or blow bubbles over them, a symbol of God's love tangibly moving across us. So I think that's a great example of happiness for us this morning. And having reflected on what makes us happy, whether we are the tree that withers or has deep roots in water, let us sing our final hymn all together, Be Thou My Vision. Thank you, everyone.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my life.
was a little bit too efficient with my segue into the hymn. So let's just take a quick moment to pray for our young people and to thank God for all that he is doing in their lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are able to teach us things about you, no matter what age we might be. We thank you for the gifts of faith that you give to our young people. We ask that you will nurture them, encourage them, and protect them, and help them also to be a blessing to the rest of us, that we might not look down upon them, but rather look up to them as siblings in Christ. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God, and of his only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be upon you now and forevermore.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.